So this has been a really busy week for me, and I'm sure it's been a busy week for you as well. But, you know, there's some really good news in that, even though it has really, really been busy. And the good news is the Lord has been with us every step of the way, right? He says he's fulfilling his promise to us that he'll never leave us or forsake us. So regardless of how busy we get or how behind we think we are, right, God is right there. He's in us. He's among us. He's guiding and directing us every step of the way. And so, you know, 2 weeks ago, I gave each one of you that was here a small tablet, if you remember, right? And I asked you to write down the things that you were grateful for. And so this morning, I want to take the first few minutes of the message and see if you've done your homework. You know, I've heard that excuse before. I might have even given that excuse a couple times. But regardless of who we are, right, it doesn't make any... The way the Lord looks at us, right, we're all equal in his eyes. And so it just doesn't make any difference. And he's given us certain gifts. You know, last week, Edwin talked about the gifts that we have, right? And he focused on not the gifts of the Spirit that are in 1 Corinthians 12, but the little gifts. I guess you could call them little. I don't know whether they are or not. The gifts that are a part of us as a life. And I can just give you an example, right? My example. The Lord gave me a wonderful memory years ago, right? And he also gave me the ability to work with numbers, mathematics, right? So who needs a calculator? I don't even know what those things are because you can do the math in my head. Now let me tell you a gift he didn't give me. How to remember your name. I am horrible. I know you when I look at you, but the name is so difficult. So he didn't give me that gift of being able to remember your name. I can say, hey, you. That's, you know, but the fact of the matter is the Lord gives us those gifts, and we can use each and every one of those gifts for the building of his kingdom here on this earth. So hopefully you've all written some of those ideas down, and I would just ask, you know, does anyone want to share one with us? And just one, maybe two, doesn't need to be a lot. I don't want to spend a lot of time at it, but I'd like to have you each share. Now, you're not allowed to say salvation because that should be the top of everybody's list, yeah. Right? So something that the Lord has really given you that you can be grateful for.
That's like the free square in the middle of a bingo card, right? Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's got that one? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So if you'd like to share just one of those, I see Don has the mic here in his hand. And just, it, you know, even the smallest of things is a blessing.
Yeah, I've actually I left my book at home, but I have placed a few items in my heart that I am 100% grateful for, and I'd have to say that the top of my list is my health, having a beating heart, and because I know that, you know, things could be different. You know, some people, you know, I can't walk. Some people don't have feet. So it's like I'm grateful for the fact I even have shoes sometimes. So the little things that seem so small are actually some of the most important things in my day every day.
Amen.
So when I wake up with a beating heart and a smile on my face, I choose to share it with who I come up with next, come in front of next.
Amen.
And I believe that is the Lord passing it on, working through me to provide joy to others.
Amen.
Thank you.
I wasn't here for the assignment, but I'm grateful that the reason I wasn't here is I was able to visit my daughter in Florida for vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now I'm grateful to be back with everybody again.
Amen. Those are all things to be grateful for. Absolutely. Amen. Anybody else? Kathy?
I'll keep it simple. I keep a picture of my mother's, where I grew up, mm-hmm. The house with the pump, and the outhouse. Okay. I'm very grateful for plumbing.
Amen. Amen. Like she said, the simple things.
I thank the Lord for molding and shaping me and making me in His own image. And I thank the Lord for the protection in His, with His hands in my mother's womb.
Amen.
I'm grateful for peace and serenity. I've had a lot of emotional dilemmas in my life, and God has seen me through where I can gain interest in Him and get full knowledge of who He is and what He wants out of me. And I want to stay a very nice Christian. Thank you.
Making me run around the room here.
Hey, get in your cardio.
Get my steps in today.
We're grateful that God guide us and protect us and brought us back to church now and everything, like go back on the
Amen.
The proper Amen. Place now. Track. Yeah.
Back on track.
Good.
I am become even more grateful for the hour drive I have in the morning and hour and some coming home, because I've really, the Lord's encouraged me to use that time to not only ponder His word, but just to praise Him. And then
Amen.
As I listen to the news, just to pray for people's hearts that that God would open their eyes, not only to Him, but to the greatest gift He's given us, and that's Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
My first thing was another day on planet Earth. And the second thing was what you just said, we can't share. You didn't say that a few weeks
ago. I said it couldn't be the first thing, didn't I? I didn't say anything about the second thing.
Okay.
There's a loophole.
Eternity with God through Jesus. Then I put my family and my friends. Then I slashed through all of those, and I put all things.
Amen.
Amen.
I just thank Him for the mountains and the beautiful weather. And I think of that scripture that says, when I consider your heavens, work of your hands, what are we that you're mindful of us?
Amen.
I'm thankful for my kids. Because I didn't realize the depth of God's love for His kids. Still don't know it all yet, but now I have a taste of it.
Amen.
And they teach me patience the long way. So
long division, right?
Way to put me on the spot, because I wasn't prepared, but... cool thing is that God will teach you lessons whether you want to or not, so you'll always have something to talk about whether you want to or not. God's been teaching me a lot about worship these past few weeks, and I'm thankful for His lessons therein.
And Brandon, that is in itself a good word, because you're right. The Lord teaches us, wants to teach us, if we're receptive to it, right? We have to be moldable. Tina talked about being molded by God's hand, right? We need to be molded by Him. So we all have something that we can really, really be thankful for. And I was surprised. I sometimes listen to Bill Gaither and others, and Mark Lowry, who I kind of like because he's a comedian and funny, but he made a statement that really troubled me. And his statement was, I've never seen a miracle. And I thought, Mark, did you breathe?
Right.
That's a miracle. Right? The fact that we can breathe. Did you ever think about what it takes to take in a breath, take that oxygen and put it into your bloodstream that feeds your cells, right? That's a miracle. We've all seen miracles. They're all around us. but do we see them? And it's a good lesson for us to just recognize that everything around us was created by God himself, right? And when you look at it, realize that's God's hand. You are beautifully made. Every one of you are beautifully made in God's hand, by God's hand, right? And you may look in the mirror and say, no, yeah, you are. Mm-hmm. In God's eyes, you are beautiful because he created you. And you are a marvelous individual. If you think about just how your body works, it is astounding, absolutely astounding. So that's not quite the message for this morning, but I thought it would be a good exercise just to sit back and think about the things that we can all be thankful for and grateful for. And, you know, it was only 2 weeks ago that I brought you the message, and you might wonder, so here we are again. We only got a week off from Bob, but this will be the last Sunday I'm here until, I think, October 26th or something like that. I'm next Saturday. Keep me in your prayers. Marcy and I are headed to Colorado to see our son one more time. And while we're out there, Brian is going to run two races, one of which is a full marathon, 26.2 miles, and the other one is a half marathon, 13.1 miles. Pardon?
You gonna run with him?
I told him I would. I could get off the start line. I might get 100 yards or so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't think any of us here in this room, or you guys on YouTube as well, I don't think we're all prepared to run that kind of a race. But the one thing that we do need to recognize, we are in a race. It's called a spiritual race. And we're going to be in that race from the time that we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior until we take our last breath and the Lord calls us home. And we all know what the finish line is, right? That finish line is that we get to be a part in God's kingdom and be able to dwell with God face to face. So we know what the finish line is as well. So I thought I wanted to talk about that race today. What is the race like? So I put this message together a couple days ago, and the last 2 days have been filled with one trial after the other. And so, and I'll just share part of that with you. I thought Friday was going to be a nice free day for me, and I was going to work on this message for this morning. I got call after call after call from work because I had this question, I had this problem, I needed to talk to this customer, and my whole day was spent at work and not doing the message. So I said, well, I got Saturday, right? Okay, so Saturday was going to be my prep day for the message as well as for Bible study that's going to happen this afternoon. So I get up and I walk out into the kitchen and this horrendous noise is going on in the kitchen. And I'm up at 6 o'clock because I'm going to the fire department to help them set up for their show, the car show they were going to have that day. And I couldn't figure, what is this noise? Well, my almost brand new refrigerator decided to die. So, and Marcy stores her medication in the refrigerator. So then I had to figure out, okay, so what am I going to do with all this? And at first I thought, well, I got to have a refrigerator soon. And then I realized my RV sits out there. I can take all the stuff out of this refrigerator, stuff it in my RV refrigerator. Almost, not quite. And then Liz is not here, but my dog, Trouble is his name, right? He's one of my dachshunds. He on his tummy, he's all broken out. He's got spots, and he doesn't look good. And I talk to the vet, and the vet says, come get medicine. Okay, so that's more time out of my day. And so as we were traveling around yesterday trying to get things, I said, Marce, I think the Lord is handing me a challenge of, can I live up to my own message? And I think that's true. And it is so. This message is as much for me as it is for each one of you, because we all have trials in our life. One way or the other, we all have trials in our life. So I do really want to talk about that spiritual race that the Lord has placed before each one of us. And each one of us that have accepted the Lord as our Lord and Savior, we have that race. It is a part of us. And we all have the same goal, right? We all want to walk according to God's will, to be obedient to Him, and to dwell with Him for forever. But the nice thing about our God is Steve's plan is different than Mary's plan. It's different than Marcus's plan or Kathy's plan. His plan for every one of us is uniquely your plan. It is your race, right? Your race can't be the same as mine. Not possible. You see, God's plan is not a one plan fits all. He loves you so much that He established a plan just for you and nobody else. And so while I can stand up here and talk to you about the race, it is your race. It's not mine. It's not Don's, except Don has his own, right? But each one of us as an individual has our own race to run. So, you know, every race has a starting point. It'd be tough to run a race if you didn't know where you were starting from, as well as where you're ending up. So, for Brian's race, one of them's going to be in Moab, Utah. The reason I know this is I'm probably the guy that takes him to the starting line. That's my job, is take him to the starting line. The other one's going to be in Crawford, Colorado, which is such a small town. If you blinked, you would miss it. In fact, I think even with your eyes open, you may miss it. Nice. I've been through it once. And, you know, if you're running a marathon, and this is going to get back to what Don was sharing this morning. If you're running a marathon, you don't start out running as fast as you can because you're in it for the long haul, right? If you started out running as fast as you can, right, you still got 26 miles to go. Oh, it was going to be painful miles if you start out running as fast as you can. So for our spiritual race, you know, that starts when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And for many of us, when we finally get to that point where we're willing to let Christ be the focal point of our lives, we get really excited about that, right? And we want to run as fast as we can. Now, I'm not telling you that enthusiasm is not a good thing. It is a good thing. Enthusiasm is a good thing. But we're in it for the long haul. And it takes a lot of learning from the time we start our race to the time we finish it. It takes a lot of learning along the way. And the writer of Hebrews puts it this way. This is Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that has been set before us. And earlier, oftentimes Don steals my message. And he did this morning a little bit too. Because he talked about the soul and the spirit, right? And the soulish things, the emotional part of us, right? And once we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and it has to calm that soul so that it becomes one with God. And there's this union together that we do become one with God, and we follow God's direction. But that soulish part of us, right, likes to cling, right? Just like it says in Hebrews 12:1, which clings closely. So hard to get rid of that. It clings closely to us. So I took this verse and I want to break it into three parts. Part one is to lay aside. Part two is surrounded by so great a cloud. And part three is the word endurance. So I'm kind of taking this verse and breaking it into three parts. So, you know, if you're running a marathon, you typically don't carry a heavy backpack and wear really heavy clothes and sloppy shoes and all those kinds of things. You prepare for the race. But then I got to thinking about it, and I said, well, Don's going to be here. Don's been in the Army. I bet you he ran with a heavy backpack.
Boots.
So I had to look up, what's the average weight of a backpack worn by an Army person? 70. And I'm thinking, 70 pounds on your back and you're running? That is, set aside every weight. Right? 70 pounds is a lot. But the fact of the matter is, right, in our spiritual race, we need to lay aside every weight and every sin. And those things are sometimes really hard for us to do. But the weights, those sins that we carry with us, the things that the soul kind of tries to get after us about and argues with us about, right? When we don't lay them aside, right, we get discouraged. And we kind of slow down in our race, right? And we lose our way. And as we travel down the path that the Lord has set before us, just like it says in Hebrews 12:1, right? We tend to drift and we look at those temptations. And if you want a kind of a picture, the picture that I got was here's your path that the Lord has laid out for you. There's temptations over on this shoulder of the road. There are temptations over on this shoulder of the road, right? On either side, there are temptations. And if you look off to the side, right, guess where you're not looking? You're not looking at Jesus. You're not, because he's the one that's guiding you and directing you straight in front of you. I wish I could remember the Psalms or Proverbs. As the hind travels after and we follow, I'll think about it, but in any event, we are to keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ all the time. And there are temptations on both sides of the road. And we just can't afford to take our eyes off of Christ, because then things begin to happen. We get worried. We think things can't work the way they're supposed to work. Woe is me, my refrigerator failed. It's only 2 years old. Oh, I got to go spend money. I'm Scotch. I do not like to spend money. That is not my thing. So it's really important that we look at those things that hold us back so that we can't progress down the path that the Lord has put in front of us, so we can at the rate which the Lord wants us to. He wants us to go down this path, and we're going to talk a little bit later, but he wants us to be successful running down this path. After all, he laid it out for you, and he wants you to be successful. And, you know, if you are a marathon runner, or if you've ever ran a marathon, or perhaps just watched one, there are always volunteers along the way to make sure you're on the right path, that you don't take a shortcut. And they provide supplies for your next leg of the journey, things like water and snacks and first aid if you need it. In our spiritual journey, right, the Lord is by our side. And he's providing the spiritual food that you need for the next leg of your journey to be successful. And his food comes in the form of scripture, prayer, and nudges from the Holy Spirit. Listen. And listen to the Holy Spirit as you're in this race, running down the path that the Lord has set before you. You know, conversing with God as you run your race keeps you focused on him. and tends to keep your eyes from looking at those temptations that are on both sides of the road. Reading the Bible and praying are akin to the water and the snacks and the first aid that the volunteers for the marathon runners did. God provides that. He provides that help, that support along the way. The other thing, those volunteers. God has volunteers too. You know, the Lord puts people in your path to make sure you're on the right path. Right? And to mentor us so that we're ready for the next leg of our journey. And I know I've told every one of you before that I am really grateful for each one of you. The reason is every one of you have mentored me in one way or the other. You've shown me things to do. You've shown me things not to do, or to avoid is another way of putting it, right? And so every one of you have had a role and an impact on my life. You're the volunteers along my path to guide and direct. And you can imagine how much I appreciate that. It is something that I know the Lord does. He gives me the right people to mentor, to give me guidance and direction. And every one of you have done that. I know I probably told you this before, but when we moved here in 1974, we ended up at a place that we had no idea where we were. We thought we were in Haymarket, and we weren't. So, like I said, we were kind of lost. The Lord planted us right next to Ben and Betty Robbins, who were absolutely sold out to the Lord. And we just come from a lay witness mission, and we were kind of these enthusiastic ones that I talked about earlier, right? And who did the Lord plop us in front of? People that could really mentor us and encourage us along the way. That was not an accident. God doesn't give accidents. I'm sorry. He does not. He puts the right people in our path each and every day. I'm sure that the Lord has put people in your path. And on my list was God's people to be grateful for. God's people, the volunteers along the way that help you as you go down the road that the Lord has laid out for you. So the second part of our race is in Hebrews 12:1, are the cloud of witnesses. It's something else, too, that you should. It's close to, maybe it's a little bit related to the idea of volunteers along the way, but the reality is these people are the people that have been successful in their race. And for those of you that knew Robin, which I think is probably most of you anyway, I don't know how many times he mentioned the fact that he could see those that had gone before in the grandstands cheering us on, right? Well, it's happening. That's the cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, and they're there cheering us on and saying, you're doing the right thing. Keep going. Run that race. Stay on the path. Don't look left or right. They're encouraging us to go the right path, to take the right direction. And we need to recognize that we have encouragement all around us, whether it be volunteers like we talked about before, whether it be this cloud of witnesses. We have people all around us encouraging us in our race, that we be successful. And actually, it's kind of my next point. Because God wants us, beyond all things, he wants us to be successful. He didn't give you this path so you could fail. That wasn't his intent, right? God isn't that kind of God. And if you look at Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Well, how are you going to fail if you can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me? How can you fail? Right? So this cloud of witnesses that are encouraging us, right, we need to take into account the things that scripturally tell us that we can and will be successful in the race that we're running. If you were to look at Isaiah 41:10, it says, "So do not fear." Again, Don almost used this. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Right? You're going to make it down the path because he's right there with you, right beside you, carrying you along. I love this picture, and I'm sure you've seen it on the wall too. And the person was saying, "Lord, where were you when I was going through this difficult thing?" Because there were two tracks in the sand. And when he got into his trial, right, there was only one track. And he said, "Lord, where did you go?" And the Lord said, "The one set of tracks are mine. I was carrying you." Right? That's how much he loves you. He loves you to that point of where, when you're in your trials and tribulations, whether it be my dog with his broken out belly or whatever the case might be, right? God is right there. That's how much he loves you. He loves you with the smallest of things that you can think of. And he gives you the strength to follow through. But you know, there is some reality along the way. And the reality is it's not always easy, not always easy as you're going through these trials. And we do, because we're human, right? We do get discouraged. We do wonder, "Lord, where are you? Because I really need your strength and your help." Right? And I found that this is kind of I would say difficult for me as well, is James 1:2. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and that steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." It is, I find sometimes very difficult to count it all joy when you're going through difficult times. And if you look at, again, Hebrews 12:1, I thought this was interesting too. The writer of Hebrews 12:1 points out that we will need endurance, right? And that word endurance is found in almost every translation that I could look up. So you would think that's the right interpretation, right? Except for the King James Version. The King James Version says patience. And I was thinking, okay, why did King James, whoever the writer was for King James, why did he choose the word patience? And every other translation uses the word endurance. And so what I normally do, right, is go to Strong's Concordance. And I'm going to murder this, but nonetheless, I'm going to try to say it. The word is hupomeli, which is usually translated as patience. But I thought it was interesting. Strong's Concordance says that it really means joy or cheerful endurance. So the writer of Hebrews, when he says, uses the word endurance, it means cheerful endurance, which is almost like count it all joy that James writes, right? Those two verses almost agree with each other. I thought, that is kind of interesting. So it is difficult to be cheerful, right, and filled with joy when we're going through all these trials of various kinds. But there are some things that the Lord has given us that we really need to hang on to. And I put down three of them. The first one is, the Lord gives us the strength to endure. And I could have used Psalm 91, but instead I used Psalm 18, which says, 1839, For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. So the Lord gives us strength as we go through these trials. Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him. It's his strength we need to rely on, not our own. It's his strength. And 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank him who has given me what? You can guess, strength. Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. So God gives us the strength to get through these things. But I also don't want to downplay the fact that sometimes it's very difficult. And discouragement does sometimes set in. But the fact of the matter is we have a God that we can turn to who will give us the strength. The second thing is we have his guarantee, literally, his guarantee, that he will provide all the strength that we need for that trial. 1 Corinthians 10:13, you probably all know this already, but here we go. No temptation or trial is my words, I'm sorry. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also supply the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. There's the word endure back again that was in Hebrews 12:1. And then the third one we've already talked about a little bit, but the Lord will never, regardless of what the trial is, the Lord will never abandon you. And if you would look at Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is that doth go with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. And you all know Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So while we may get discouraged, while we may really wonder, where is the Lord in all of this that's going on in my life? You know, he hasn't left us. He doesn't leave you. He's always there, right? And he's always there for us to go to for strength and for help in whatever the trial may be. And then the last thing, every race has a finish line. Otherwise, it's not a race. And our finish line is living with our Heavenly Father and walking the streets of gold. Are you looking forward to that? Mm-hmm. Me? I am. And you know, in Revelations 21:4, it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I can accept that. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. That's what heaven's going to be like. That's the goal line that we're all headed for. And so your path is different than my path. The Holy Spirit's nudging, and your path is different than the way he's nudging me. But the fact of the matter is, our Heavenly Father has laid out a path for each and every one of us. And he's put things along that path for us to learn. And we can't learn everything all at once. So if we start out on our spiritual race, trying to see how fast we can run, we're going to miss things along the way, because we need to slow down and learn. Because the Lord has so many things he wants to teach us along the way, that we may grow. It doesn't say you're instantaneously. We can grow into his likeness. And that's what he wants for each and every one of us, is to grow into his likeness. So this morning, are you ready to pick up the pace?
Yep.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah.
And continue on your spiritual race.
Yep.
Are you ready to shed the things that hold you back?
Yes.
Are you ready to be encouraged by our Heavenly Father in the cloud of witnesses?
Absolutely. Mm.
And are you ready to overcome the obstacles in your path? And most of all, are you ready to keep your eyes upon Jesus all the time?
Yes.
Don't look right or left. Somebody did that yesterday on Route 66.
No.
The sun was shining. He decided, so you know what happens when you turn your eyes?
Yeah.
You turn your steering wheel the same way. Mm-hmm, you do. It's a natural thing.
Right.
He turned his steering wheel to the right and ran into the guardrail. It was sunny out. And I was wondering, why did he run into the guardrail? So the fact of the matter is, right, just like in our spiritual race, we can't afford to look left or right because we'll turn that direction.
Right.
And so look straight ahead. Keep your eyes upon Jesus, and you will be successful because the Lord guarantees you will be successful. Would you pray with me?
Yes.
Father, we thank you so much for your presence in our life. We thank you, Lord, that you stand by us no matter what, and not just stand by us, but live within us, Lord, to give us that inner peace, that inner joy that is beyond our understanding. And so, Father, as we go through the trials of life, as we run down the path that you have set before us, may we always keep our eyes upon you. May we always look to you for our strength, Lord, and we just ask that you would be alongside us and guide and direct us every step of the way. That we, each and every one of us, will someday join that cloud of witnesses as those that have been successful in running the race. So, Father, as we prepare for this next week, Lord, I just ask that you be with everyone here and those that are on YouTube, Lord, that you would just bless each one with the presence of your Holy Spirit. May they have a renewed sense of your presence in their life. And Lord, may they pick up the pace and run the race that leads to eternal life. For I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.